Full Service Radio is proudly supported and hosted by Simplecast, the easiest way for a podcast creator to publish and distribute audio on the internet. For more information, visit simplecast.com.
Full Service Radio.
Man, if you don't know what ghetto style means by now, I guess we're just going to break it down for you. Rock the beat.
Hey, 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 Jimmy,
hello,
are you there?
Hello. Dude, it's a miracle.
Dude,
I made it.
What's going on, man? You're in New York.
Up,
what's good?
Yeah, you're listening to Skate Talk with JP and Haas. Right now, I am live in the Witch's Brew Coffee House in Long Island, New York. It's a 1902 Adams Family House. It's one of the best coffee houses in the world. So this is the first time, man, Haas, I'm coming, you know, through the airwaves from New York, and Quim is probably on a boat from Hoboken coming over to the city or something.
Yeah, what's up? I'm tuning in from Rahway, New Jersey.
That's what's up. Yo, today, our guest is Quim Cardona. This episode is titled Quim Time. That's a quick and easy Google search. I don't know if we have time to really catch it up. But Quim, we just want to say thanks for joining us today, man.
Thank you.
So you wanted to set the tone when we start this interview, man. You had a vibe for us. What's good?
Yeah, how's everybody doing? I just want to spread the positive news and start the conversation off with a ohm. Shanti, shanti, shanti.
Wow.
Yeah.
Quim, thank you, man. Ever present, shuffling of vibes.
What an intro.
And I want to say, too, I've been receiving those Quim vibes, whether it was, like, you know, from afar at a spot or, you know, of course, on screen. You want to see some classic footage, you know where to look.
Well, I have a list of shout-outs and, you know, people that inspired me along the way and just helped my journey by documenting some of the times. And music goes a long way that parallel because it brings back the memory of when it took place.
Absolutely, and that's a big part of the show. We actually might have an extra guest pop in and say what's up to you, but you know, that's
Skate
Quim,
Talk
style.
Yeah, Quim, I didn't tell you we have a surprise.
You know
that might pop up on the show to ask you some questions. They might show up at the there in D.C. live at the radio studio in the Lion Hotel. Mm-hmm. So we'll keep you posted. Yeah.
Okay.
Well, you know, they're going to sit in rush hour to get to the rush hour.
Yeah, right.
I'm beating rush hour right now. I'm going to take my time and let it all pass by and then get on the road after.
Well, thanks for being with us, man. All right, let's get into it, JP. What you got for Quim?
Let's get into it just to let the listeners know. We didn't want to have Quim come in person in D.C. We didn't have a budget for security. It would have been too wild and crazy with his fans. So we're having him call in. Quim, where are you in New Jersey right now?
I'm tuning in from Rahway, New Jersey.
Rahway, New Jersey. Wow. Quim, we're going to go right into it. What year were you born? You and your twin brother, Mike Cardona, when were you born? When we're both at
Mike and I were born August 26, 1978, Livingston, New Jersey. And it was at a hospital where my mom worked. She worked as a nurse in the emergency room for 25 years.
Wow. And so you are 42 now?
I must be 41.
Okay, 41.
Oh, yeah, 40. Wow. Yeah, 41.
Wow, so you and Mike were born at the same hospital your mom worked at.
Yeah, well, I think she later got the job there, but yeah, it was such a trip because, you know, she was down with the emergency room forever, so whenever we got hurt, we would have to, she would take us there, and, like, everybody knew her, and they took care of us. Like, we didn't have to wait on lines.
Right. Wow, you got, like, a special inside with, like, skate injuries. That's insane. Wow. So, Quim, now, was it you or Mike who first saw skateboarding on TV or in person and got into it first? Or did you both get into it, like, the same time?
Hmm. That is such a good question. I think we both were inspired and to start at the same time, since we spent a lot of time around each other, and we have an older brother. We still have he's like 15 years older, by the name Rich, and he.
Wow, I never knew that.
He was a skater back in the 70s when New Jersey had the most skate parks, more than California.
Right, and Perry Hill, Tony Alva would come out.
Long Beach Island, you know, and I have photo albums of the bowls that they got to skate back then. Mm. And they, you know, so one summer when I was, I don't know, eight years old, he passed on a board to me. It was a Stacy Peralta, Gordon Smith.
Yeah,
with,
GNS.
With OG Juice wheels. It was a real small, thick plywood board, and you know, I could barely stand on it, but I that was the first time I stepped on a board and tried to ride down the sidewalk.
That's insane. And then I'm sure Mike wanted to play around with it too, man.
Yeah, absolutely. I think, you know, trying to really remember those memories. I remember just the sounds of the skateboard and like hitting the sidewalk. It was like tick 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 tick. And it just, you know, we started skating in the garage and in our basement because my other brother, that's
Rich,
he's about 5 years older than us.
Oh.
He was a wrestler, so they had in our basement growing up. We had a wrestling mat and some weights, and like my brother and his friends would work out and do wrestling matches and shit, punching bags, and then we would skate. And we, you know, living on the East Coast, the winter times it was really cold, so we didn't really have places to go. You know, so we went to our garage or to the basement of our house, you know.
Right. Wow. Damn.
But one of my older, but Rich, he left the house at 18, and he pursued his career in art. And but Whoa. We used to imitate him. He used to have like spray painted Converse All Star shoes, and we would kind of with the laces, you know, with no laces or. And we would, you know, do the same thing, spray paint our Converse All-Star
so
shoes.
So sick, man. Wow. Everyone's tripping off the photo we posted to do promo for the show. You wearing the Dead Kennedy shirt in third grade, man. People are, like, mega hyped on that.
Yeah, man. Well, it feels, there's so many influences when you have a circle of friends with different personalities, you know, you just cling on to certain things that you're liking, you know, at the time. And that was one of the, that was something, you know, we were different. I think we were just, we had a different spirit, you know,
that's why you became a skater. You automatically looked at everything different, you know? Okay, so that was your first skateboard. You and Mike shared it. What was
my first kickflip was done on a mini Nautis Coppice with the pointed nose.
Ooh. Wow, that's crazy! A mini Nautis Coppice, one with the Panther. I think it had the Black Panther
on it.
Yeah. Wow.
Like jumping out of it was the original graphic, but you know, during those times they made a mini version. So I remember even having the Tony Hawk Bonite board with the round nose, and it was a mini. And I was such a small little guy that I didn't have regular trucks. I skated on freestyle trucks.
Whoa.
So that's like we had smaller boards for a smaller size person.
Right.
You know?
That's crazy. You rocked freestyle trucks. You were so small. What was you and Mike's first real board, though?
I guess the first, one of my mentors had been like a Steve Steadham.
Whoa.
Steve
Steadham. And I remember going to, like, we used to go to Long Beach Island during the summers because my parents, we had a beach house for 17 years there. And the skate community was big. It was like late 80s, 89, like 86 to 89. It was just booming. So like everybody from the inner cities would all come down to the Jersey Shores during the summer. And they would fill the whole schoolyards. And we would skate. People, like a few guys had ramps in their backyard. And it was like a path, like, that was really hard to get to, but we would find the ramps and be able to have a session with you, with the older guys.
Right.
But people like Brian Blake skated for Shut, and like I remember like the parking lots behind the bank had all the parking blocks. You know, people were doing wall rides, crail grabs. Like Brian Blake, I remember, traded that Steve Steadham board. There was the Lion of Judah graphic. And he traded me. He convinced me to trade the board for a Danny Webster.
Whoa! Is that Kryptonics Pro, right? I think.
Yeah, I think it was a Kryptonic or a Toxic, one of those.
Right, right. Oh, you're right. Yeah, could have been Toxic. Wow.
So yeah, that's kind of one of your first awesome, man. But I definitely I want to definitely give a shout out to my first crew.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely. So your first crew was just there in Jersey?
Well, my first crew was in Plainfield, New Jersey. And they kind of got a name as the Plainfield Posse because we first saw them in a parking lot outside of an armory with a launch ramp.
Yeah.
And then the next day we went back and they were still there and we joined them. And it was just like the whole crew, like, just brought us in, and it consisted of like the whole spectrum, meaning all nationalities, different personalities, rich or poor. And I think we're very fortunate to have that circle of friends skateboarding. You know, it was,
yeah.
It was,
and that's what's so sick about
like
skating,
beat,
Quim,
you know?
As you know, it brings everyone together as one big family. Yeah,
I can break down some of the personalities in the crew. Like, we could do it if it's all right with you.
Yeah, for sure. We want to hear it.
All right. Well, there was Craig, who had an older brother who built motorcycles in the garage. Hold on, I gotta delete this phone coming in. There was Craig, who had an older brother who built motorcycles in the garage and did tattoos. And listened to a lot of Iron Maiden and Slayer and Metallica. And come to find out, Craig became a real hip-hop junkie in high school. And you know, he became like the opposite of who his brother was. Mm-hmm. But he was an awesome skater. You know, we skated like cheap skates. We would go out to cheap skates and skate that skate park out in PA.
Yeah.
And then, but there was Moo, who kept a Walkman wherever he went. And he was, you know, like one day he came with the yellow cassette tape of the Master Ace. And he would battle. He was a rapper. Like he would battle and step to heads in Washington Square Park to eat. And he would eat them up in freestyles.
You know? Wow. That's amazing.
Really, like just test people on a rapid level.
And that's,
you
know? That's like one fifth of the crew.
Yeah, and then I mean, there was a lot of you know, we listened to a lot of Big Daddy Kane, Slick Rick, Public Enemy. Yep. There was this dude named Corey. He came with the jokes. Steve was an Italian kid who threw house parties. I remember we got our bike stolen there. We weren't really supposed to be there because we were underage at the time.
Right.
And whenever everyone else was in high school or older, there was Toy, who was from Vietnam, and he was the only freestyler in the crew. And
wow.
He was a real genius, man. He didn't really want to talk about his past. I think he came from war-torn country.
Uh-huh.
So he didn't want to ever bring up the past. but he was always like such a genius. Like he later, I think he's a doctor now.
Wow, you know? Go figure. Yeah,
Andy, that he was a DJ. We would go to his house after school and do pieces in our black books and come up with hooks and like, you know, he was just like scratching the records and, you know, collecting records. There was Jesse who grew his dreads out and introduced us to listen to Bad Brains.
Yeah.
You know, there was another Jesse, Melick, who introduced me to like Bob Marley when I was 7 years old. You know, he was just such an inspiring dude. He was from outside of Philly, actually, and he took us to his local shop. It was called Squirt Skates.
Whoa.
I don't know if anybody remembers that.
I've actually, someone told me about that a long time ago, that place.
And he also took us to Zipperhead. That was back in the day, South Street.
Zipperhead. What was that?
Zipperhead was like a skate shop slash, like, they sold, like, jewelry and like hair dye, like Manic Panic.
Yeah, a little punk rock skate shop.
Yeah, it was kind of punk rock.
Where was that in Jersey?
Billy Idol style. But then, like, you know, I think.
Was that in Jersey, Quinn?
And then it was like Bigfoot and Teddy one day showed up, and we saw Teddy on MTV Skate Master Tate. And we didn't even believe it was him, man. He was on.
Wait a minute. Are you talking about Teddy Powell?
Yeah, Teddy Powell, man.
Dude, that dude is a ripper, and he's a sick MC, dude. Yeah.
Yeah, man.
And I got turned on to him by you. I met him through you once. Yeah, that guy is amazing.
He submitted a video to Skate Master Tate, and they aired it on MTV when they had a skate program going on. but I'm proud of Teddy, man. Shout out to the Jack Moves. That's his band that does a lot of tours. But he was one of the first skaters in the crew to move to San Francisco and skate for Stereo. He got in like Slap Magazine. You know, he was just like the first person to like leave home and come back ripping.
Right. When was the first time you and Mike left to go to the city, to New York City to skate? Because you guys must have been young. Your mom didn't want you, like,
because, you know, my mom grew up in Manhattan. So we would always visit our grandparents up in, like the Harlem area, like Morningside, like 123rd and Amsterdam area. And then how did we even find? We met up with some skaters. They told us about the Brooklyn Banks, and we showed up there one day, and like, you know, we met Harold.
Yep.
Harold took us everywhere. He was like our personal like tour guide.
Of course.
Like, he always would let us know, like, what neighborhood to go to, what neighborhood to stay out of, you know.
Harold Hunter was the Big Apple of New York City, yeah, for sure.
He was definitely our big brother, you know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, for sure. Hey, and speaking of that time era and New York City and Brooklyn Banks, it's not a rumor. We know for a fact, and you're going to elaborate on it. Harmony Korine wrote you in the script to play Casper originally for the movie Kids.
Right.
How did that all happen? And you know, do you want to elaborate on that? Like, your mom thought that role was...
It was a hot summer.
Get it?
And everybody was just like, we were all like a big posse. Everybody would meet up at the Banks. Everybody would go to Washington Square Park. We would all go to Astor Place. And there was an audition. I guess Larry Clark and Harmony were doing an audition for a movie. And Harold and Justin, they were a little older, and they were just like telling us, like, look, there's an audition. Let's go check it out. So, you know, as the Rat Pack, we rolled all together down Broadway. We went into this hot loft where they were taking Polaroid pictures of us, and just we were rehearsing some of the script. So I think that was our first audition. Was I made out with Chloe, and I was 16. I was a young guy, and I knew how to kiss, but yeah. I still had a, you know, it was such a fun experience.
Dude, that's amazing that you got to do that.
I think the second audition, my older brother was supportive of it, and he took us to the second audition, but it was my mom that found out about the movie when we brought
it
up.
And it was too gnarly for her, huh?
Read it.
Yeah. Wow. That's crazy, man. Yeah, Justin did an amazing job. Love him. I had a great time skating with him in New York City as well. I'm sure you had
absolutely
beautiful times with him at the banks and
all
everywhere.
Those guys yeah. did an incredible job.
I know, man. Yep. So, when did you and Mike first ever get sponsored?
Okay. Well,
skate shop.
I got to bring it up. Well, before we had a chance to go to are you still there?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I got and my boss is calling me. I just hung up on him. But you know what? Before we had a chance to go, I'm trying to look at just a little bit of my notes. Should I answer this?
Yeah.
All right. Give me 1 second.
Sure. Haas, you there?
Yo, yeah, dude. You know, I just want to say our extra reinforcements.
We're going three way.
Our enforcements showed up.
Yeah.
We got one.
So
we got
our
two
secret guests. Has showed up. Wow. He
can't even contain himself. We're laughing. I mean, it blew the security
amazing.
Budget, but, you know, we had to get him in person.
Wow. We have the secret guest at
came
the show.
Through. Came through. From wow. Richmond, Virginia. It was a 90-minute drive.
We're going to wait at least 5 more minutes before we bring in the secret guest. Nobody knows who he is. Ooh. And we're not going to give any hints.
That's
we'll
a skate talk style people need to learn, is that we make them squirm.
Yeah. And we'll ask. We'll have him just go off and ask Quim a question.
Well, Quim's going off on Philly connections, New York, like life and city. So,
sure.
But, you know, I like part of the show is
do
to get
not
people
let
to
me
remember
forget to bring up the Mike Tyson thing.
The Mike Tyson story is coming, and the New York DC connection is coming, which a lot of people, you know, just don't think about. But
right.
We used to gravitate to spots. I mean, Brooklyn Banks, everything.
Yeah. Quim, are you there?
Yeah.
Amazing.
Dude, Quim, we're ready for you, man. Let's go, part two.
Quim, the special guest has arrived at our show in D.C. We're not going to tell you who it is yet. In 5 minutes, we're going to bring him in. But let's get back to where we left off.
So you were asking me what our first sponsors were.
Yeah.
All right. So check it out. Before we made it to visit T-Shirt Emporium Skate Shop, there was a little shop that opened up. It was called One Step Beyond. And Alvaro was from Hawaii, and some dude named Howard started a small board brand called Batacoli, and they put Ron Kanigi on, and they would take us to contests, you know what I mean? And
I forgot Kanigi was from Jersey. That's right.
Yeah.
He rode for. He was
before he got on New Deal, he skated for Batacoli.
I think
one thing we were very fortunate during those times growing up to have to skate contests, and there was ESA, NSA, and later there was USA, United Skateboard Association. ESA was Eastern Skateboard Association. NSA was the National Skateboard Association that was set up. You know, it was a platform for upcoming skaters, and it really challenged to push our skills to the next level.
Totally. So that was an underground skateboard company in Jersey, correct?
Yeah.
Okay. What was your next sponsor after that?
Well, there were a group of guys out of Ridgewood, New Jersey. We met up with, it was called Public, and these guys were cutting their own shapes. So they cut, my brother and I, our own shapes. Like, I remember the shape was like 28 inches, you know, 9 inches wide or something. And, yeah, man, we filmed video parts, and I even have the video part of my brother and I skating to some Public Enemy.
That's what's up.
Dude, that's so sick. I want to say one thing. I remember seeing Public ads in magazines, like low budget. Also, my buddy Binge from New Jersey sent me footage last night of a video called Cardboard Only. I scrolled to 6 minutes in. Quim, you are like 12 in there, 13, skating. You have a tie-dye shirt on.
For real?
Crazy. Yeah, I'm going to show you later. I'll send it.
Wow.
Crazy. Dude, you will look like you're 12.
Yeah.
Crazy.
But
dude, but you had your little hop ski, like, ready to spring up. Dude, it's amazing.
Wow.
I mean, I could guarantee it's you. Now,
Oh, man. The
first time, Quim, I ever saw you ever was 1993 Love Park contest.
Mm-hmm.
And the Philly Love Park trash cans laying down were still humongous. They were almost the height of a rubber trash can standing up.
I remember that.
And I think you tried to switch and kick flip it. You had the sick style. You had the braided belt, the khakis, the half cabs, the sick hat to the side. You had your hair tucked up in your hat. People were sweating you. You were giving real stickers out to little kids.
Oh, this is the time. I was definitely going real by that time.
Before you were sponsored by them.
Yeah. Jamal did a backflip off the Love Park letters.
Yeah, Jamal Williams. Yeah, he backflipped off the Love Park sign.
Shout out to Hops.
God. Yeah. That's in the 401. But, Quim, how did you get discovered by Real Skateboards, by Jim Thiebaud?
Well, that's a good story, man. I mean, I can first take it to where I met Matt Fields, and we heard about a self-made skate spot behind a shopping plaza in Edison, New Jersey, where we met Matt Fields, people like Matt Wood, who was a great freestyler, Chris, this guy who designed the logo later for Simple Shoes, I'm Cooler Than You graphic. And then we met Chris Pastris and the Shut Team when they showed up at contest at Olipop's. Eatontown Roller Rink was a big spot. And one of the biggest first pro contests we ever encountered was at Bricktown, New Jersey. You know, Eric Costin, Jamal Williams were skating in the contest with, you know, and we just sat there and watched. But
yeah, sure, it was just mind blowing seeing everyone.
But when we were about 14 years old, my mom and I and my brother, my mom and I, we planned a trip to San Francisco to see Matt Fields because he got his girlfriend pregnant and she was going into college and I guess she had to like quit college and
mm-hmm.
and they ended up, you know, having a beautiful baby named Dakota. She's probably like 23 years old now.
Wow.
And so we went to visit him in San Francisco. He lived mm-hmm. on a street called Balboa down by the beach. And it was such a rad experience, man. Like,
and this is 1993, right?
Yeah. And Matt Fields was getting flowed by Real at the time. So
right.
He introduced us to Jim Thiebaud, Tommy G, and we skated. We had a session at Wallenberg.
Wow.
And I remember, like, just doing a bunch of tricks, and, like, they were into me, man. So, you know, I think they started flowing my brother and I boards when we got back home to New Jersey. And then, you know, time, we just stayed in touch. And not much. I think just to have filmers like RB, Umali, and mm-hmm. Anthony Claravel around
yep.
at the Brooklyn Bank
really
like
helped.
They documented all of us skating, and it ended up in 411 videos. So that was like our portfolio, basically.
Yeah, and you know why we know, Quim? Because you had a 411 opener, and for someone to have that is a huge deal. Mm-hmm. You did a nollie inward heel flip shove over the Brooklyn wall. You also did
it. Memories. Oh, trust me, I still play that back in my mind.
Oh, yeah. Dude, you were traveling a lot, man.
It's a big deal. Before, Quim, we bring up our special guest on the show to ask you questions. When was the first time you met Mark Gonzalez, and how did that play out?
Oh.
Wait, I'm so sorry. Can you repeat that?
Yeah, when was the first time you met Mark Gonzalez, and how did that play out? Because people are tripping off that photo I posted for the promo for this show where you're body surfing on top of Gonz. You're like skating on top of Gonz's body because he's laying down coffin style. Yeah,
that was the weekend. It was a tragic weekend because that was the day my brother the weekend my brother died. Oh. But it was also a big event because it was the first Adidas photo shoot campaign for 411, and everything we shot
you didn't
was
see Mark Gonzalez before 1998.
It was in 98.
Wow, so you didn't meet Mark before
San Francisco
for
that
real that all that time. Wow.
Yeah, and we stayed at like a hotel like near Fisherman's Wharf, and like we met Mark Gonzalez there, and that was the first time we actually got to skate together, and you know Paulo Diaz was there.
Yeah, boy, I bet you vibed off those two guys.
He was such a big inspiration. Like growing up, like watching him in like Savannah Slammer, doing switch method grabs off the launch ramp.
I know people weren't ready for that. They didn't even know what it is. They don't even know what to call it now. Yeah,
that's true.
So ahead of the time. No.
Switch melons.
Yep, so cool.
Switch melons.
Wow, and so, yeah, before we keep going, let's bring in the special guest that no one knows is in
Dude, we're here
right
in D.C.
Yep.
D.C., Bureau Skate Shop.
Yep.
Shout out to D.C. Bureau.
Will, shout out.
Yep.
Brian Tucci.
Yep,
Brian
Tucci.
Shout
out to Brian. Brian Tucci.
Is our guest there?
Yeah.
Pause.
Yeah, introduce yourself, man. What's going on?
Hey,
who's here?
Quim.
What's up, Quim?
It's Pooch.
Pooch, what's up, man? How you doing?
I'm doing good. How about yourself?
Oh, man, you know, just grinding. Thank God it's Friday, but, you know, tomorrow is another day.
Yup. One day at a time, bro. One day at a time.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Sometimes one step at a time. Pooch was one of the first skaters you met in D.C.,
DC,
which is a really, really cool thing. When did you guys meet?
Well,
do you remember? Pooch, do you remember?
Yeah. I remember. I really can't remember the year. It was definitely early '90s. And Quim, you was solo. You was at Pulaski. Like you was solo. And the second time we met, you was with Rodent. You guys was on a little trip, and we was remember that. You guys came to my house, we skated and all that good stuff.
So
I can't remember the year, but yeah. Yep.
That was 2005 when Rodent started riding for I'm sorry, he was always like a good skater. He took us to like his hometown in Raleigh, North Carolina. But he was shooting for the skateboard magazine.
Yeah.
I think that was, we were on a mission to go skate. Like, D.C. was always, like, such a, you know, to just come up with some good skating, you know?
Hey, Quim, I got a New Jersey native in the house who want to say hi to you also.
Yeah.
Quim, you there?
Yeah, I'm here.
Ooh. It's Chad.
Yo, Chad, what's up, kid?
What's good? What's good?
Enlighten us.
I'm holding on to this painting for you. I painted a board for you.
What?
Hey, I just want to say real fast that no videos really do justice of the skating, man. You got to see it.
That's true.
In real
That's
life.
That's true.
That's true.
I was gonna name drop.
And I've been listening to
that's true.
Tricks or spots, and I just want to say, like, you just gotta see that fool skate in real life.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's the process, man. It's not even the finished product anymore.
Mm-hmm.
And I think, like, people forgot about the brotherly love. You know, I go to spots, nobody even shakes hands with each other anymore.
Crazy.
You know? I know.
They forgot about the unity.
Yeah, it's like no unity. Even skaters are fighting skaters. It's like
I can't imagine that, man.
Yeah, it blows my mind. Wow, you got to stick together and kind of look. You know, it's a different time. I think people are just like losing the culture a little bit.
Well, you got your output, man. Like, we wanted to talk about the Spirit Quest part you did. We're stoked you're on politics, still pushing, man. I mean, there's so much, you know, still current with you.
Just came back after 20 years. I pretty much push nowadays. I push what I like, and it keeps me busy. And you know, my son is 12, so he's at a time where he's learning how to ollie, and I'm watching the process all over again, and it makes me really proud. I'm proud of him, you know, that he's just like. He's kind of battling the frustrations of learning, and like I don't push him to really learn. I just want him to have fun because that's where it starts.
Yep,
that's what Pooch did with his son for sure. Pooch, you got a question for him?
Hey, whatever happened with Organica?
Who? KO?
Yes.
Well, when I moved to L.A. in 2002 is when I joined KO, and Organica was a project that Carl Watson put together, and it was just I felt at home. You know, we were riding for iPath at the time, and we had mutual friends, you know, and the vibe was there, and it was all gravy. And Stevie Williams started DGK.
The whole KO, yep.
It's almost like a good circle to build from, and you know the relationship grew. We were able to do a few trips overseas, but they didn't invest a lot of money into it. We didn't do tours. We didn't go across countries. You know, we didn't. There was a lot of. I think they had their agenda, their program that they worked from. You know, and I think like being from the East Coast, I felt like I had to move to Cali to further my career.
Well, that wasn't really the case.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, right. That's how it was back in the day. You had to go out west to establish yourself.
Yeah, and I always looked at it like it's good to own your masters, you know. So I never became like a owner or I never had the control to say I want to do this board graphic. I want to put my brother's art on a board. I want to do that. I would propose it to them, but they wouldn't always say yes. Mm-hmm. You know, like yeah, for sure.
Hey, you guys, we have 5 minutes left. I want to
so
really.
What I did a couple in 2003, I started a wheel company. Started Sushi Wheel.
Yeah, I remember.
And that was my own creative project that I got started, and. It was just partnered up with some guys that did an insole company that turned into helmets and protective gear. So they had a warehouse, they had a place to store the product, and they also had distribution. So that kind of helped me. But I pretty much set up a lot of the accounts like overseas on my own through just my reputation and trying to just reach out.
That's
you know?
What's up.
Right. Quim, what was your reaction, if you can remember, when you found out you had the cover of Thrasher?
Well, the one that I sent Jimmy that was shot in
May
New York,
1997.
It was like May 97.
Mm-hmm.
That was my senior year in high school, and I remember getting it in the mail. And I was so juiced that I brought it to school.
I mean, that's huge, dude. That's heavy. That's real heavy, bro.
That's as heavy as it gets.
I showed it to my math class, and my teacher said, "You know who this is on the cover? That's him."
Yeah.
Wow, that's so cool. Thank you.
Massive.
That's the question of the century for the show.
Yeah.
Perfect.
So. I mean, I can remember when I first met you, you was doing Nolly Front 180. You was on Nolly Front 180 Nose Grind on the wall at Pulaski. And, that was heavy, bro. That was real heavy.
That's what's up.
For back then.
Yeah.
You know, amazing. I think there was a jazz festival going on. It was like summertime. It was hot.
Yep.
I think we were loose, you know, like our body, like when you sweat, like you just turn into an egg, into like a different machine, you know. So when you try to come over and over and over, there comes a time where you're going to land it and ride away.
Quim, you were the first skater I ever noticed that might have done yoga to be more limber and tweak their stuff. When did you get into yoga or experiment with it?
Yeah, you know, I got into yoga when I did like a semester at college. I was in my brother and I, we went to School of Visual Arts and did like one semester in New York City, and it was a rough commute from Jersey every day. So like we found a yoga school, and we started taking classes, and it really helped us, man. It just clears your mind,
dude. It really helped your skating, that's for sure. Because, man, that tweak on the Thrasher cover, I mean, you're really not rocking that unless you got some yoga limberness. So I want to talk about...
And, you know, just meeting people along the way, people like Hamilton, Harris.
I don't know how we're going to wrap this up in 2 minutes.
My man, Carter, they studied Tai Chi. So, they would, you know, in influence how Tai Chi goes in with skateboarding, you know?
We're going in now. Now the show's starting, even though we got 2 minutes left.
Freestyle, Quim.
Now the show's starting.
Quim, how did you learn to play the melodica? How did that work out?
Oh, man. well, you know, we used to just, you know, just being influenced through music and going to open mics and freestyling and rapping. And I got into the music.
Quim, on
like,
that note, we got 1 minute left.
Shout out to
we gotta do shout outs and dude Quim do some shout outs and take us out with the vibe.
I want to shout out every photographer that ever helped me. Tommy Campbell, Tobin Yellen, Gabe Morford, Ari Makopoulos, Skin, Lance Dawes, Luke Ogden, Ryan Ueda, Yuri Shibuya, James Garrett, Ryan G, Ken Godo, Dimitri, Ted Newsom, Theo Han, Philippe Lara, Ian O'Connor, Korn, Sue Tran, I love you all, Benjamin, Crafty, Alan Ying, Larry Clark, Sue Kwan, John Humphreys, Weatherby, Bryce Knight, Pep Kim, Rodent, Dirty Gary, Todd Jordan, Ebby.
Yes.
Amazing. Yes. Kick us up, Quim.
This goes on. Jaya Bondaroff, rest in peace. Photography lives.
Yep. That's right.
Yeah, man.
Quim.
Kick us a verse.
Yeah, kick a freestyle.
For real?
Pooch might have to beatbox on that one, though.
Nah.
Come on, Pooch.
I do an acapella style.
Okay, give us acapella.
We go acapella. We good.
Let's go.
Actually, we got instrumental music, too.
Nah, it's cool. I do an acapella style because I got a beat that I rap to it, so it's kind of in my head at the time.
All right, kick it for a bit, and then our producer is going to bring in a beat just to take us out. So kick it for a bit, man.
Back against the wind, make it or not, face against the wind, we still make it on top. What it's about, if it's not the clout,
bank notes in your coat, cut it out. We made it out on the skate talk route. Yo, the greenery's in the envelope, scenery on the river, my mind soaked. Not a quote, a lot of smoke, not a game, it's not a joke. Crooked backs doing yoga, making it straight. Big sofa in a small apartment, taking up space. Figured out Napoleon, erase the face. History repeats itself, someone's taking your place. Loving man's get crushed like a can of silver bullet. Covered up like wigs on English mullets. In the matrix, going nowhere, the ultimate deck. Spinning facts on wax, with the utmost respect. Doing the distance in kilometers. Embrace the heat, degrees on the thermometer.
Yeah, Quam, love you. I'll see you.